Today's episode of Market Talk is brought to you by GrowMark FS. Keeping up on the latest in ag is a challenge, to say the least, but there are experts nearby ready to help. You'll find them at your local FS. You can trust them to bring you customized agronomic, grain, and energy solutions born of the latest thinking. That's because FS specialists receive continuous training that keeps them current on the latest trends, practices, and technologies. So you'll get local expertise that's both exceptional and up-to-date. Visit fssystem.com to learn how FS is bringing you what's next. And a good afternoon. Welcome into Market Talk for this Monday, September 27th. I'm your host, Jesse Allen. Thank you so much for joining us as always. MarketTalkAg.com is our home on the web. MarketTalkAg.com. You can find all of our streaming sources everywhere you find podcasts. The links are there. You can find our social media, latest news, market information, and more. It's all online. MarketTalkAg.com. A lot of positive things to talk about in the market trade here, especially corn and hogs today. The big winners here as we get this week started. We got a quarterly grain stocks report, I should say, coming up here on Thursday that we're watching closely. A lot of things to talk about. Let's bring in John Heimberg with Total Farm Marketing to take a look at all of it. John, good afternoon. And you and I were chatting a little bit before we got on the air here. Really solid, strong day in hogs and corn. And just kind of overall, not a bad way to start off the week here with a report week looming ahead of us here.
Yeah, actually a little surprising given the weather we had over the weekend. Thought maybe some harvest pressure could possibly build in here to start the week. And, you know, the corn market just came out today and basically said it's undervalued, whether that's due to the cost of inputs coming in. And we did hear some talk, China sniffing in the market maybe for some corn. Again, we'll wait to see if we get any confirmation there. You know, we put 11, 12, 13 cents in across the board. So again, that just kind of tells me the market thinks corn could be undervalued, at least to start today. Today, you know, we didn't put any distance in carry or anything of those lines. We didn't bull spread it. We didn't bear spread it. It was just a value lift. So it's encouraging to see. You know, also we saw the funds. You know, we did have options expiration last week on October options. So maybe there's some positioning going on there post that at that time frame. But, you know, right now we just take a look at where this cash market is, what's possibly going on out there, and with harvest still ramping up, a lot of room to store corn. And the market probably today said, hey, we need to make sure we pay it and get it pulled out and get it into the system.
And I think that's a big key there. You and I were talking about this a little bit as well before we went live today. Just, you know, looking at corn and bins being cleaned out and, you know, trying to find corn. And pretty much, you know, it's coming from what is in the field here across the country. But a lot of end users, I mean, they're looking for corn or are going to be looking for corn here in the next couple of weeks ahead. And that might be part of the reason why I agree with you. It might be part of the reason why we're seeing a little bit of this this pop in the corn market here today, or one of the reasons anyway.
Yeah. Back in February, I did a webinar with some grain merchandisers from across the Midwest. And, you know, we were talking about, if you remember back at that time, and we had such an inversion in the market, you know, so much strength in the front end versus the back. And I remember asking that question to those two guys, just saying, hey, what are you going to do with this? What's this mean to you? And the comments basically were me saying they were going to pull every bushel they could forward. They were going to sweep out every bin, you know, bins they haven't cleaned out since 2012. You know, well, now you think forward here, I think at this point, that means they're empty. And if we're a little bit delayed in the harvest, which we're not, you know, or just that need for corn right now in this window, you know, they got room to put it and they're going to try to pull some out of you on the cash market. And we've heard that in a few cases where we got some producers that have been basically elevators requesting producers to get out, get some corn, whether it's wet or dry, and get it in. They'll give them a premium and get that corn brought in to just get going. So we may be seeing a little bit of that here early. Now with that, you know, we did hit some pretty good resistance on that 540 window today. We'll have to kind of see if we got enough strength to push through. Obviously, we still keep demand on the radar, and that's going to be the biggest thing going forward, is going to be the demand side of the equation. You know, this might be just a nice window to get some pipelines can't talk today. Get some pipeline bushels brought in, and when that gets kind of filled up, we can see this market soften back. So, you know, I would still treat this with caution, especially with the reports we got going in front of us here with grain stocks on Thursday and then the October report right after that. You know, with this little lift, those put values to get you through the next couple of months, or at least to put a floor underneath the bin till March, got pretty reasonable and very, very good value there. So that's something I'm still looking at and talking to producers about.
Glad you brought that up, because we've talked about this the last couple of days on the show, just that low volatility in those put values and just, you know, how cheap they are to kind of protect yourself here in the event that, you know, say we come in here Thursday with a market changing quarterly grain stocks report. We know that that report is known for its surprises, John.
Yeah, it is. It's one of those reports that really can move the market. Typically, those and the acres numbers are some of the more volatile reports of the marketing year. And realistically, this report is the last chance USDA can go back to last January and reassess last year's crop. So we could see an adjustment there. They could also go back and alter grain stocks from previous months. If you remember last year in September on this report, they rolled back into June and took 200 million bushels off the June grain stocks numbers. And that's what really kicked this market in and through the winter. So we'll have to watch that. One area that we don't know, and that's always the wild card, is the animal feed component. You know, we know the export numbers, we know the ethanol grind, but then we got to look at those animal consuming units and these ACUs. And, you know, we were talking a little bit briefly that we haven't covered it yet, but that quarterly hogs and pigs report came in at 3 million less hogs than last year. So that's going to be something we'll have to see how that shakes out into this report overall. And that's a lot of feed demand that could get shuffled into this down the road. So again, something that keeps us a little bit on the cautious side. And when you get pops like this, I have producers selling a little bit today and then looking at some puts.
Let's jump around a little bit. Let's segue into hogs here, because they were the other big winner today in that quarterly hogs and pigs report. You kind of hit on it there. Pretty bullish report on Friday, and we saw that reflected today. Limit higher moves in many contracts for hogs. Talk about that and just your general thoughts from that quarterly hogs and pigs report on Friday.
Yeah, when that number came out on Friday, I actually had to double check it a couple times, because it really seemed like it was a misprint to some extent to have a miss by that much. I mean, analyst expectations are about a million and a half head under last year, and here we came in almost double that. You know, that's a lot of hogs out of the system. But again, that may be reflective of some of the disease issues that we dealt with in the pig crop earlier last year. There was a lot of talk about the PRRS situation, and that did maybe come through. You know, so we'll have to watch. You know, the USDA made some very big revisions as well in some of those previous numbers, and that all got reflected. So what's that mean going forward? That means about hog slaughter is going to be possibly down up to 6% as we move into the first part of 2022. That's a big cut. And with demand still being very, very strong in that hog market, that not surprised we moved lock limit higher in those, you know, December and, you know, February contracts today. Now, with the new expanded limits, we can go up to $7 higher tomorrow. So we'll have to kind of see how aggressive these buyers are going to be in this market. You know, any shorts are definitely caught on the backside of this today, and we'll have to see how that all shakes out. You know, we're right at the top of the trading range again. If you draw a line across the highs, it'll hit right through here around this $81, $82 area on December hogs. We can break through that. It wouldn't shock me. We go back and retest that $90 area. You know, realistically, maybe that's where we need to be given the numbers that we've got put out there today.
On the flip side of that, on the cattle market today, John, pretty, you know, neutral to bearish report on Friday, cattle on feed, and that was reflected. I know feeder cattle took it on the chin a little bit today. Live cattle hung in there, but I sense maybe a little caution there still as well.
Yeah, we definitely need to keep that in front of us with this market. I mean, first off, the cattle on feed numbers, a little bit heavier in terms of total cattle on feed. I think that was disappointing to the market. It did try to buy it last week, maybe anticipating a little more friendly number, and we didn't get it. You know, then the placement number was at the top end of expectations. That's what's weighed on feeders, plus the jump in corn prices today. You know, and feeders broke apart a little bit here technically. Live cattle just kind of bled lower all day today. So I'm a little cautious yet where we are. You know, the other thing between cattle and hogs right now, we got the tight numbers on hogs, and then we've seen the carcass values and cash prices, you know, start firming up, where we haven't seen that yet in the cattle market. So that makes me a little more concerned that if we continue to see these carcass values come down, we got choice carcasses just hanging above $300 right now, which is still historically good, but still trending the wrong way, that maybe this cattle market's got a little bit more room to go. you've got to watch these lows that we put in here a few weeks back. If we take those out, there's another down leg in this cattle market, which, you know, could put that December contract down into the low, you know, into the 120 window, or maybe even a tick lower.
John Heimberg, our guest today from Total Farm Marketing. Coming up next, we're going to take a look at the soybean market, look at that trade today. As we fell a little bit off the high, still finished higher, but some question marks in that soybean market, as well as watching maybe better than expected yields on soybeans. We're going to talk about all that. We'll look at the wheat market as well and get final thoughts. That's coming up next with John Heimberg from Total Farm Marketing here on the Monday, September 27th edition of Market Talk. Back with more after this.
Trains are everywhere. You should always expect one, even on private property. Only cross tracks at designated crossings that fit your equipment. If you don't fit, don't commit. Whenever you're operating, secure your load, raise your equipment, and avoid getting stuck or causing damage. Minimize distractions. Remember, noisy equipment drowns out the sound of a train. Unless you're crossing, always keep a safe distance from train tracks. Look, listen, live. For more info, go to oli.org.
Keeping up on the latest in ag is a challenge, to say the least. But there are experts nearby ready to help. You'll find them at your local FS. You can trust them to bring you customized agronomic, grain, and energy solutions born of the latest thinking. That's because FS specialists receive continuous training that keeps them current on the latest trends, practices, and technologies. So you'll get local expertise that's both exceptional and up-to-date. Visit fssystem.com to learn how FS is bringing you what's next.
As harvest begins, the American Seed Trade Association reminds farmers to be diligent in taking the proper precautions to ensure treated seed does not enter the domestic or export grain supply. When properly handled, seed treatments are an effective agronomic tool that provides seeds the necessary protection for a strong, healthy start. Completely remove all treated seed left in containers and equipment used to handle harvested grain and dispose of it properly. Always be careful to follow state and federal guidelines for proper handling, storage, and disposal of treated seed. For more information, visit seed-treatment-guide.com or contact your seed dealer.
And welcome back to Market Talk for this Monday, September 27th. I'm your host, Jesse Allen. Thank you for joining us. As always, again, markettalkag.com is our home on the web where you can find us, all of our streaming sources and much more. Anywhere you can listen to podcasts, you can find Market Talk. John Heimberg with Total Farm Marketing, our guest today, still with us here on the show. Let's segue back into the grain markets here, John, and soybeans today. You know, we finished higher in the soybean complex, but I was a little disappointed with the close on Monday in soybeans, just considering that the sale to China that was out there, the rumors that China might be buying, you know, another 300,000 to 400,000of soybeans possibly before holiday next week. And then beans just kind of, they fell off the highs and never really made their way back there. What's your thoughts on soybeans after Monday?
That one may be truly some harvest pressure coming at us here. And, you know, the market may be starting to build a little bit of carry in. We're hearing better, you know, talk of some pretty decent yields from some producers. Nothing great, but things that at least when we get that October report, we maybe tick that yield up a little bit more. You know, and then the demand side of it is still a concern. You know, we did talk about the Chinese picking up some Brazilian beans last week. You know, is that still coming into play? Are those bushels going to get shifted back to the United States? You know, plus we got a chart that is still, at least at this time frame, a descending chart, still looking negative. You know, again, here we are today. We ran up to 1297. We finished 10 off the high. Yeah, I agree with you. It's just kind of watching it bleed away, and it just was a little nerve-wracking. Just feels like maybe this thing wants to break first. We'll have to see what the other grains do and things of that nature. You know, and that really came in the face, too. A nice move in crude oil today. Good strength in meal early. That seemed to fade away. And then a little bit of bid in bean oil, which really I thought could have got us a little bit better than a 2 cent move on that November, January bean contracts today. So maybe the market's starting to tell us a little bit that we're going to have plenty of beans up front. You know, the market's been telling us to sell beans and kind of store corn. I mean, we're going to try to turn that around a little bit here. But at this time frame, it just still feels a little bit cautious, you know, going forward, at least with this bean market, that the potential to break lower, especially if we get a heavy grain stocks report or bumping that yield in October, looks like that could still be the possibility.
Well, when we look as well at soybeans, you know, you look at the issues at the Gulf, at New Orleans, USDA inspections today, shipments. I mean, they weren't great. And I think that's another factor we got to watch as well, because, you know, if this keeps going on and we have good yields for beans, but we can't ship them out, I mean, we almost risk missing the short window we have for shipping soybeans to China before that new crop Brazilian harvest comes online, John.
Exactly. And that's something definitely the market's got in front of it. And that's why we're seeing prices kind of stay here under that $13 level to encourage that Chinese buyer to stay in the market in here. You know, we're looking at that South American crop. Weather is going to be something we start really focusing on there. Planting pace is just starting to pick up. Usually mid-October is when we really get concerned about planting pace down in South America with this bean crop. You know, but they're expected to put another record crop out there. We're going to be larger than last year in terms of total size. So, if the Chinese don't get their beans from us here and get things locked in and we get them shipped out, they're going to have more than ample supplies in front of them. Plus, also, just some things going on, again, side items in the news that we got to just keep an eye on. They're dealing with some energy issues in China. You may have read some stories or heard about them over the weekend that they're shutting down provinces and things of that nature, just kind of meet some energy demand concerns. And a couple of those areas are holding some of the major crushers. So how does that come into play? You know, again, if those crush margins aren't there right now, Chinese beans are still about $6, $7 above the U.S. bean per bushel price. So there's still room for them to bring them in. But, you know, it all comes down to that demand side and what do they need and what's in front of them here in this window.
Lastly, we should look at the wheat market. Just felt like wheat was just acting like wheat today. Not a whole lot of news there. Just not a lot of news of its own, I should say, to really propel it higher. I know corn kind of propped it up a little bit, it felt like, but wheat was just kind of lackluster today, John.
Yeah, real quiet day in the wheat market today. Just, you know, actually a little disappointing. December tried to push a little higher, finished six off the high, so we got a little bit of a hook reversal there in the daily charts. We'll have to see if that gets some follow through. You know, again, we're watching what's going on the global wheat scale. Export shipment numbers were disappointing that came out today. Again, maybe reflecting what's going on in the Gulf as well. You know, wheat still has a lot of competition out there globally, and we need to just keep that in our radar that there's still some good value, especially next year, July, you know, 22 wheat sitting at 718 today. Yeah, that's a pretty good price. I've done some defensive strategies through here. Know some guys have locked in some wheat sales just because that's a great starting point. But wheat's one of those markets that can quickly see some money flow as we saw last week. Now, charts look a little more friendly. You know, like corn, nice little round out here, you know, series of lower highs and these big turn points. So we'll have to see if we can get some upside push. But at least today, it kind of just sat back and was watching corn make its move higher.
You know, just an observation of mine as well. We don't necessarily have to get into it too much. But, you know, last couple of trading sessions, I've watched oats, cotton, you know, some of the prices there have been pretty impressive. Some of the moves we've seen in those types of markets as well, John.
Exactly. First off, that old market, you know, that's just a direct reflection of the lack of acres that we've got out there this year between the United States and Canada. Then throw the weather conditions in on top. You know, we saw the front month oat market get over the 580 window here last week. You know, solid day again today, but it's so lightly traded now. In the trader's mind, something to kind of keep an eye on is just the fact that it's going to be competing for maybe Durham or maybe spring wheat acres. And maybe that's why we still saw at least a 5 cent bump in the spring wheat today. You know, if producers can put oats in the ground and that takes away from some of those acres for those two classes of wheat, you know, that's still something that keeps this market supported, even though, you know, maybe the old philosophy of oats knows kind of goes to the sidelines. But it's been an impressive move. The fundamental reason is there. You know, we're looking at the lowest oat crop in the United States in history, and I've seen a significantly reduced Canadian crop, and for a major, you know, feed grain that's used in for animal as well as human consumption.
Very, very true. John, any other thoughts, any outside market news you want to share or anything else in general you want to reiterate today?
Well, let's kind of keep an eye on that crude oil market. We saw Goldman Sachs come out bumping prices up to $90 a barrel. Market responded to that very nicely with a nice jump over a dollar higher today. You know, watching if we can break through that $76 window that we kind of put in here just a few weeks back and put new highs in. If it does that, you know, that's going to open up this commodity sector just a little bit more. There's just a lot of things going on out there, and producers need to weigh the risk versus the reward. You know, right now, if you're going to be selling off the combine, I keep talking about this a little bit, make sure you got something underneath those high at-risk bushels. In other words, those bushels that can move around in price a lot in the next handful of weeks. And like I said before, put values, especially in this corn market, are pretty doggone reasonable just to have that insurance policy underneath as you're out there working in those fields.
Well, I know if producers, if they need a little advice, need some help working out those strategies, those different strategies that are in front of them, they can reach out to you and the team at Total Farm Marketing. You guys have a lot of great information, not only on your website, but of course, the knowledge with your team as well, John.
Feel free to give us a call, 800-334-9779, or shoot me an email at johnh@totalfarmmarketing.com. And again, that website, totalfarmmarketing.com. A lot of great information for producers. I know it's a very busy time in this time frame. Guys are really pushing it, so make sure you're staying safe. But at the same time, make sure you keep an eye on what's going on. I had a couple producers today were very surprised that corn was up 12 cents today because they had no clue because they're out there rolling. Take advantage of what the opportunities are out there for you. Make sure you manage that risk even as you're harvesting.
John, appreciate the time as always. Thank you so much. Go Pack, go. We'll talk to you next week.
Sounds great. Have a great week, everybody.
I had to throw that one in there. That's John Einberg with Total Farm Marketing up in Wisconsin, and we thank you for being a guest on the show here today. Coming up, we're going to wrap things up. We'll take a look at a couple final notes and get you sent on your way here on this Monday, September 27th. We'll come back with final thoughts here on Market Talk right after this. Today's episode of Market Talk is brought to you by GrowMark FS. Keeping up on the latest in ag is a challenge, to say the least. But there are experts nearby ready to help. You'll find them at your local FS. You can trust them to bring you customized agronomic, grain, and energy solutions born of the latest thinking. That's because FS specialists receive continuous training that keeps them current on the latest trends, practices, and technologies. So you'll get local expertise that's both exceptional and up-to-date. Visit fssystem.com to learn how FS is bringing you what's next.
As harvest begins, the American Seed Trade Association reminds farmers to be diligent in taking the proper precautions to ensure treated seed does not enter the domestic or export grain supply. When properly handled, seed treatments are an effective agronomic tool that provides seeds the necessary protection for a strong, healthy start. Completely remove all treated seed left in containers and equipment used to handle harvested grain and dispose of it properly. Always be careful to follow state and federal guidelines for proper handling, storage, and disposal of treated seed. For more information, visit seed-treatment-guide.com or contact your seed dealer.
Trains are everywhere. You should always expect one, even on private property. Only cross tracks at designated crossings that fit your equipment. If you don't fit, don't commit. Whatever you're operating, secure your load, raise your equipment, and avoid getting stuck or causing damage. Minimize distractions. Remember, noisy equipment drowns out the sound of a train. Unless you're crossing, always keep a safe distance from train tracks. Look, listen, live. For more info, go to oli.org.
And welcome back to Market Talk. Thanks again to John Heimberg, our guest today from Total Farm Marketing. You know, it's a pretty strong day with corn futures anywhere from about 11 to 13 higher on the trading session. We saw soybeans bound 3 to 5 higher for the most part. Wheat futures were a little mixed on the trading day. A lot of strength in hogs as well, though. We're going to have the opportunity for limit higher moves, expanded limits tomorrow up to $7. We'll see if the strength can carry through in that hog market. Coming up tomorrow, we'll talk with the crew at agmarket.net. We'll keep watching as we head towards the quarterly grain stocks report on Thursday, and always keep you prepared with the market information you need. That's going to do it for Market Talk on this Monday, September 27th. I'm Jesse Allen, wishing you a great rest of your day.